This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you. I certainly am. Love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. All kinds of good things coming your way as we join together every Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station. We love discussing issues of importance to your life and your faith. And to that end, I love for you to call in and chit-chat with us. Let me give you that toll-free number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to hear from you today. Also do want to encourage you to use the chat feature that is at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply go on out there and use that chat feature. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We will get it up on the board. We will be able to address it. We have Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving, Matthew Gubensky answering the phones, and the lovely and wonderful Vanessa Sanchez making the whole thing happen right there on the campus of EWTN in the studio. Do want to share with you some of the things that are happening through Women of Grace. I'm very excited. Tomorrow I'm leaving. I'm going to be in Florida. Yes, I am. I'm going to be in Vieira, Florida, and we are going to be joining together at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church, and I'm encouraging you, if you are on that East Coast, to come and join us there. We are going to have a beautiful time in the Lord. For the ladies, that beautiful time begins on Sunday afternoon from 12:30 until 2. There will be a luncheon, and I will give you a talk, and we'll be able to chit-chat together, get to know each other a little bit better. Looking forward to that. So please do come and join us for that beautiful event. Now, beginning that evening, December the 7th, which is Sunday's date, at 6 o'clock p.m., I believe it is, and running until 9 o'clock, I could be a little off on that time. I'll check for you very quickly here. We are going to be involved in the parish retreat that's going to be held Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. And I'm hoping that you'll join us for this. Father has graciously opened this up to anyone who would like to come. I know that St. John the Evangelist Church is a very, very busy parish. There's no question about that. Lots of good people, lots of good groups. It's a very active community. And I know that lots of the parishioners will be coming, but we're hoping that you're going to come and join us as well. And I would love to see you. We've got beautiful, beautiful talks that are going to be presented, and just an opportunity for us to really begin to enter into this Advent season with our hearts wide open to receive every grace and every spiritual blessing in the heavens that God would have us to receive. And we don't want to leave one of those behind, do we? I mean, we certainly want to make certain that we are, in a posture of openness to the Lord, surrender to the Lord, so that we can receive what He wants to do in us and wants to do through us, you know, as we make our way on this pilgrim journey to life on high in Christ Jesus. So that Advent parish mission is journey of grace, faith, and hope. That's the theme. This was the Jubilee theme for the parish there, and they're closing it out with this retreat. Very excited about that. And it is December the 7th through the 9th. It's going to be at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church right there on Stadium Parkway in Vieira, Florida. And we have the information for you right there at our website. It begins at 6 p.m. and runs until 9 p.m. So I was right on that. And it's going to go Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday evening. But all of the information is there at our website. We're hoping that you'll get out there, take a peek at it, and join us there. Very excited that some of our Women of Grace are going to be joining us, and always happy to see the Women of Grace, and always happy to see those who come and want to be a Woman of Grace. We'll tell you all about that if you want. So do join us there at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church this coming Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week. And remember, Sunday afternoon, special for the women, St. John the Evangelist Women's Conference, Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord. I'll be giving that address, and you will also have a beautiful luncheon. And that, as I mentioned to you, begins at 12:30 p.m. this Sunday, and it runs until 2:30. So it's a two-hour event there. All righty, take a peek at that and all of the good things that we have going on at Women of Grace. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us right here live on the air today. I know that Matthew Gubensky is looking forward to taking your calls, so please do call in and keep us busy this morning. I would really appreciate a lot of your calls and just getting to know you too, right? It's a beautiful opportunity that we have. Let me share with you about another event that's coming up, and I'm very also excited about this one. This is right here in my own backyard, basically. It's right here in Birmingham. It's going to be taking place at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church. So all of you in the Birmingham area, in the Birmingham Diocese, of course, outside of the diocese as well. I know people are traveling in for this. We are going to have a lovely day, January the 9th and the 10th, a lovely evening, January the 9th, and then on Saturday the 10th. Be Set Free, Healing the Wounded Heart is the theme for this event. I'm going to be hosting that. This is a retreat that's going to be presented by Arise Worship Ministry and Women of Grace. We're joining together for this lovely event. We've got a wonderful, wonderful vocalist. Danielle Rose is going to be with us, and she'll be taking us through the day with inspiring song. And we will have prayer and fellowship throughout the event. We'll have time for adoration. Just a lovely, lovely opportunity, again, to start the new year off right, you know, taking care of all of those things within ourselves that, you know, might need to be patched up a little bit. You know, I oftentimes compare our heart to a leaky vessel, and I compare it to a colander. You know what a colander is? It's the thing that you drain your spaghetti in, right? And a colander, of course, has lots of holes so that when you empty the spaghetti into the colander, all of the water goes out, but the noodles stay intact. Well, I talk about our heart being like that. The wounds of the heart that we have basically make our hearts a leaky vessel like a colander. God, for his part, wants to pour his grace in. He wants to pour his divine life in, and he does. But oftentimes what happens is through those wounds of the heart, all of that grace and all of the divine life of God begins to work its way out. We don't want to do that. When we enter into this process of healing, then what takes place is that all of these holes in our heart get patched up, and we are able to retain more of God, more of his love, more of his divine life, and we grow and we grow and we grow. Our heart expands and expands and expands, and we're able to contain more of the God life within us. Now, as I often say, there are three wounds of the heart that everybody has, and this comes from Father Richard McAleer, who has been in healing ministry for a long, long time, decades really, and he says there are three wounds of the heart that everyone suffers from: betrayal, abandonment, and rejection. And I just bet that you can name all three instances in your life where you have suffered from wounds of these kinds. Well, God wants to heal that so you can contain more of him, so you can experience more abundantly that life he wants you to know. All righty, there you have it. Give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation with you. Maybe you have a wound to the heart that you'd like to talk about today. Well, I'd be happy to talk with you about it. Again, that's 833-288-EWTN, or use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Just put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement, and do know that we'll get it retrieved and up on the board. We're coming right back. Stay with us. This is Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. We're talking about wounds of the heart or anything else that you want to talk about today. Let me give you that toll-free number again, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It is toll-free for you right here in North America. Just pick up up your phone, punch in those numbers, and we can chit-chat on the air today. Also want to let you know that we are available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply go out there and use that chat feature. You can put your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving today. Tom Price sitting in for Matthew Gubensky today. And again, Vanessa Sanchez right there in the studio at EWTN making the whole thing happen, which is really, really good. We really, really are happy about all three of these wonderful team members working together to make Women of Grace out there on the airwaves for you today. We do want to talk with you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're going to go to Nancy. Let's get Nancy up on the board.
Hello.
Hello, Nancy. How are you today?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you. Got a little thing going on with my throat, but other than that, I'm pretty good.
Oh, thank me too.
Well, thank you for calling. What
I'm
is your question?
You were talking about betrayal, and I picked it up. Right now, I am with my husband of about 37 years now, and he's betrayed me. Right now, I'm kind of like, he betrayed me with a woman. He kind of like didn't do anything physically, but kind of like verbally said some inappropriate things, and I ended up finding out. But so right now, I'm just kind of making believe that everything's okay, but internally I'm struggling because he doesn't want to make any changes. He feels it's appropriate to be friends with other women. When I spoke to him about my situation, he didn't acknowledge me or how I was feeling. He said he felt it was okay. He wasn't going to change. I did ask him to let me know, like, when he goes out, who he's going out with, to at least inform me of what these conversations are looking like. He has women's numbers, he has men's numbers, but he tells me he thinks it's okay to have. And again, I was betrayed by him in my 30s. He had an affair, and I feel like traumatized. And I did explain everything that to him, but he doesn't seem to get it or understand. And I feel like right now our values aren't connected, and right now I'm just making believe that everything is okay. I am making steps to call an attorney just to kind of get educated. And so I don't know. It's a big betrayal, and I'm not getting the acknowledgement that I need from him. He thinks that it's me and that I'm weird and that I'm crazy. I mean, he doesn't say these words, but that's how
yes.
I feel.
Well, let's talk about this for a moment, Nancy. I think one of the best things that you could do would be to talk to a priest. And I think a good thing for you to do also would be to talk with a counselor. And, you know, I would say a marriage counselor particularly, but a Catholic one who believes in the value of the sacrament of matrimony. Because oftentimes the first thing that marriage counselors might want to do is to advise divorce. We don't want to go that route if we don't have to. Obviously, excuse me for one second. Excuse me. Betrayal is a terrible thing. And when you say that he has a friendship with a woman, what is the nature of the friendship? And you say he says inappropriate things. Are those inappropriate things alluring things? Are they things that would intimate something that would be more akin to a romantic relationship? You know, so it depends upon what that is. Can a married man have a friend who is a woman in the workplace, etc.? Well, I would say that that's probably pretty likely. But when that friendship crosses a line, then you stand the risk that there's even an emotional affair that's going on. And this is where the betrayal, you know, comes in, is when there is actually a movement forward in that kind of a direction that's inappropriate for a married person to be engaging in. And putting oneself in situations that would stir up those kinds of emotions. We have to guard ourselves. So given the fact that he has cheated on you in the past, that it's quite understandable why there's a lot of discomfort I don't think that pretending that everything okay is the right way to go, because you're stuffing down those emotions. You're denying the reality on one level. And it's important for him to have concern for your welfare, and it's important for him to express that, and it's important for him to try to make a change if, in fact, this relationship has exceeded the boundary of a very platonic kind of interaction, which is why I think it would be good for you to talk with a priest, and it would be good for you to talk with a marriage counselor. Have you done that?
I've talked to a priest already, and of course, they say to talk to him, but when I talk to him, he just doesn't want to acknowledge anything. I've asked him to go to marriage counseling. He doesn't want to do that. He thinks just by us communicating is okay. I recommended marriage encounter this weekend. He doesn't want to do that. He thinks that as long as we communicate, everything's okay. But whenever I communicate things to him, he doesn't acknowledge my feelings. He thinks yes. that it's just me. He thinks that I'm the one, that it's my feelings, and that it's just me overreacting.
Yeah. Well, has he indicated that this relationship has gone to a level that it ought not to go?
No.
Okay. Well, I guess maybe you're in a very tough position, no question about it. I cannot tell you what to do outside of, I think, should seek counseling, even if he doesn't go. I think it's important for you to be able to talk this out with someone and to be able to express your emotions to someone that can help you to put this in right order. You might be able to be a little more candid with someone like that than you can be on the air. And you might be able to get a little bit deeper into this with them. That could be very beneficial for you.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call today. You know, these kinds of betrayals, especially when it's within the context of marriage, are very, very difficult. Is it impossible for these kinds of things to be worked out? No, it's not impossible. As a matter of fact, routinely, people can work through these kinds of difficulties, but it takes two to want to work through them. And when only one spouse is willing to work through them, it makes it all the more difficult. And so that is, something that always has to be looked at and taken into consideration. But something that I said to Nancy, I think is very important for us to remember. We never want to put ourselves in a position of the near occasion of sin. That's really a negative thing to do. And the reason why is because we are all broken and fallen people, and we all have certain proclivities, and we all have predominant faults. And when we flirt with situations that can cause those temptations to rise, then in a certain way, we are inviting the consequence. And so, it is very important for married couples to guard themselves against putting themselves in situations where anything like that could be aroused, even if it's just on an emotional level. And as soon as that attraction is there, there needs to be a walking away. Is it impossible for someone to find another party attractive or a certain kind of excitement of heart when you see someone? No, because we are just human persons. But what's a problem is when we give into that. Because the moment that we say I do to one person, we're saying I do not to every other person. And so we've got to stand firmly in that I do not, even when the emotion within us might arise. I hope that makes sense. Let's go to Patricia. She is in Massachusetts today, listening to us via Station of the Cross. Hi, Patricia. How are you?
Good morning. Is this Jonette?
It sure is. How are you doing?
I want to thank you so much for your blessed ministry.
Well, may God be praised for that, Patricia. All things are possible with him and through him.
I have to share with you, I travel. I'm calling from Massachusetts. My name is Patricia, and I had called and spoken to you, and you make my ride. I go weekly to visit. Maybe about a year ago, I called you, Jeanette, and you presented me the most beautiful prayer. My daughter was diagnosed back in 2020 with a mental health diagnosis. Today is her birthday, Jeanette, and she's been home for 2 years.
Oh, my goodness. Jesus. Oh, that's wonderful, Patricia.
Father, I had shared with you. I know you have many calls and minister many, but your phone call is still in my heart, and I pray for your ministry and thankfulness every day. So I had to call in your wonderful subject, St. Bosco, for children. I mean, I don't care how old our children are. Even my mother, God rest her soul, was still my mom till her final days. But I have to say, it's her birthday, Jeanette. You had rang my bell, the bell for my first time call, and it's been 2 years for both of them to be hospital free. I mean, granted, my ex does get, you know, a visiting nurse, but my daughter, Jeanette, she has been hospital free. So we are celebrating her 34th birthday. I'm sure she won't mind me sharing that. But I love your ministry. I listen to my ride. It's like about an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, and what a better way to travel and meditate with you, but also on your TV program. So I want to thank you, and if you could just please keep her in my prayers, your prayers, because I'm telling you, you are gifted, my friend. And I just thank you for your ministry.
Well, Patricia, I'm so happy that you're sharing this good news with us. And it's one of the things that I so enjoy is when we get these praise reports, because what that does is it confirms us in the fact that God is interested in every aspect of our lives. And it encourages us to raise up our needs to him, right? He wants to know. He wants to know. Not that he doesn't know, he does know. But when we present the petition, that act of humility, and presenting the petition to the Lord opens our hearts, right? It makes our hearts more receptive. And we were talking about that a little bit earlier on, especially during this Advent season. This whole concept of receptivity is something that we want to be quite aware of. We are about to receive Jesus anew in this Christmas season. We celebrate the birth of our Lord because our Lord is not coming once, but our Lord is always coming. He occupies the present moment. He is always there for us. There is always a grace that he wants for us to receive. But that receptivity of heart is very, very important. And so, you know, the preparation that we make prior to Christmas, this whole season of Advent, is a time of preparation. It's a time of making our hearts ready to receive the Christ child. And it seems appropriate to me that we're talking about wounds of the heart today. And I've mentioned to you that we're going to have this wonderful opportunity right here in the Diocese of Birmingham, where I'm located, at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church, a Friday evening and a day, Saturday, just exploring the wounds of the heart, seeking the healing from the Lord that we need, and being, you know, just buoyed up by him, allowing the presence of the Holy Spirit to work within us. So I want to invite you once again to that. But this is an ongoing process. You know, healing the wounds of the heart, especially these deep-seated wounds, are not quickly resolved. And God in his mercy doesn't resolve them quickly. If he resolved them quickly, we are very likely to have a psychic collapse, really. And the reason for that is because when these roots, wounds of the heart are long-standing wounds of the heart, the roots go very, very deeply. And when those roots go very, very deeply, that healing process has got to be measured according to the depth of the wound. If God healed us all at once, it would be a traumatic experience because we have built up different systems within our activity, within our lifestyle, within the way in which we react to others and the way in which we react to ourselves, that kind of have become defense mechanisms to protect us from the scourge of that wound. And that has to be peeled off layer by layer by layer by layer. The other aspect of that is that for healing to happen, we've got to explore the whole of it with the Lord, not just a part of it, but the whole of it. And sometimes we're really not ready to see. We're not ready to see all of the ways in which that wound has affected us. But it has. And God, knowing the way in which we as human creatures are created by him. He takes us through that process slowly, layer by layer by layer by layer. So I want to encourage you, you know, if you have a wound of the heart, if you're dealing with a matter that has been very difficult for you for numbers of years, you present it to the Lord. This is the perfect time. And then when Christmas arrives, that grace that comes by way of this beautiful, beautiful day of the Lord will find a ready home in your heart. It will be able to settle there. It'll be able to go into all of those cracks and crevices and take you even further in that healing process. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here live on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. It looks like Matt is back. He's going to be taking your questions. We invite you to call. Again, that toll-free number here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. In addition, we invite you to use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. It is there for your use. Put in your question or comment. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. We'll be able to address it. It is Matthew Gubensky on the phones. It is Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving, and it is Vanessa Sanchez in studio. I'm Johnette Williams. We're happy to be with you today. I do want to remind you, though, that we don't want to go through this process of healing and restoration on our own. And I always recommend that we have someone who is going through it with us, a spiritual director, a priest, a confessor, and the sacrament of reconciliation, one of the great ways in which we receive healing. You hear that music? We're going to go to a break. We're going to come right back. Again, the toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. Use that. It's toll-free for you in North America, 833-288-3986. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page, also available for you. I'm Johnette Williams. We are going to be coming right back right after that break. In the meantime, get your calls and your questions ready for us. We want to hear all about it. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We do want to hear from you today. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. Eager to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. All of the phone lines are open for you right now. Matthew Gubensky will take your calls. You can leave a message for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Just use that chat feature. We're eager for you to use that chat feature. Pedro Quiles will collect your question and get it up on the board for me. Vanessa Sanchez is manning the controls, or womaning the controls, if you will, in the studios there at EWTN. We're talking about wounds of the heart today. We'll talk about anything that you would like to discuss when you call in, however. But, you know, I was talking as we went to the break there about the value of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And yes, indeed, healing takes place in a number of ways. And as I was saying earlier, you know, our God is very gentle. He is a gentle healer. He is a divine physician, and he operates in a divine way. And so what he does is he peels things back layer by layer as we are ready for the next level of healing that he wants to bring to us. So he doesn't heal us all in one fell swoop. As I mentioned earlier, especially when it comes to matters of the soul, when it comes to those emotional wounds that we've experienced, they run deep within us. And oftentimes, we've established an entire life around those wounds. We have set up all kinds of defense mechanisms to protect us. We've come up with a construct of how we see ourselves and how we see the world as a result of those wounds. And in a certain way, those wounds blind us to, I would have to say, different kinds of realities. So this God of ours very gently, gently, gently begins to heal us. And more light comes in, and more light comes in, and more light comes in. And it's because it's the light of the Lord, that light in and of itself is healing. But I want you to think about that metaphor. I want you to think about that analogy between, you know, the light, you know, that fills our light bulb, you know, or the sun in the sky and the light of God. You know that when you get up in the morning, if you've been in a pitch black room and you turn the light on, oftentimes you have to squint because the eye cannot absorb that much light all at one time. It has to gradually open up to be able to absorb it. And that's kind of the same thing with inner healing. One of the reasons why God doesn't heal all in one fell swoop is because it would be too much. It would be too much for the soul to bear. And so it's little by little by little that he opens up the iris of the soul, so to speak, so that it can take in more light and more light and more light until it sees things absolutely clearly through the eyes of God. And when it sees things through the eyes of God, then a beautiful thing begins to happen: restoration, renewal, and healing. You know, it says several times in different places in sacred scripture that God will reveal in the light what's hidden in the darkness. And it's that process that we're talking about. There are some aspects of what the wound has entailed in your life that go so deep and are in the darker recesses of our being. And it takes a while for them to come to the surface. But oftentimes, too, we're not even aware of the tentacles that have grown as a result of that wound in our heart. And all of this needs to be brought into the light of God. So for very deep wounds of the heart, this process can take years. But I will tell you this, that when we allow that process to begin, there is joy, because as each layer of healing gets resolved in the Lord, we become more authentically who God's created us to be. And there is joy in that. And we're able to receive all of those spiritual gifts that the Lord wants for us to receive. And as we receive those gifts from the Lord, you know, there is a heightening of our interior life. And there is a deepening of our relationship with God. It's a beautiful process, this process of the Lord. So, you know, while some of this healing can come through a professional counseling, I think a good deal of it can at least be opened up there. The ultimate healing always comes by way of God. It's always his work. So I went to the break and I was mentioning to you about the Sacrament of Reconciliation. We forget that the Sacrament of Reconciliation is one of the two healing sacraments in the church specified for healing, the Sacrament of Reconciliation and the Sacrament of the Anointing of the Sick, really specifically geared, given to us, an outward sign instituted by Christ to give us grace. And what grace is attentive to those two sacraments? Healing graces. So make use of the sacrament of reconciliation for the wounds of the heart that you have. You know, many, many times in through the healing process that I've experienced through, you know, 40 some years, you know, as the Lord shows me something more, I take it to the sacrament. Maybe in some ways that particular wound of the heart has complicated my capacity to react with charity. Maybe in some way it's inhibited my ability to respond honestly to situations. I don't know. I'm giving you for instances. And so sometimes there is a sin that we've been operating in because of the wound. Now, there might be some culpability. There might be no culpability. But when we see that, we want to take that. We want to take that to the Lord. Sometimes you see we act out of the wound. And that's one of the deleterious effects of a wound of the heart. We act out of the wound. We don't act out of the best part of our being. We're acting out of the wound. And it's a reaction as opposed to a positive action. And that can get us into trouble. Maybe we're very quick-tempered. And when we're quick-tempered, what is it that we often do? We often say things that are hurtful to other people. And that is a sin. But that sin is tied to that wound. We want to take it to the sacrament. Also, too, sometimes it's not really a sin that we're asking forgiveness for when we take an aspect of the wound of the heart to the sacrament. Sometimes it's because we need the healing graces there. And there's been times when I know I have gone into the confessional and said, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And I confess my sins. But then I say, but Father, I need the healing grace of this sacrament for this particular wound of the heart. And the Lord has revealed to me how deeply this has affected me in this area. And I'm asking for the grace of the sacrament to reach this area of my being and begin a healing process. So you can use the sacrament in both of those beautiful ways that ultimately bring healing, bring reconciliation, bring renewal, bring new life. See, our God is a God of life. He wants to bring us new life. So, sacrament of reconciliation. Another beautiful way in which we can attain healing. And this is so very, very true. And I've talked to numbers of people through the years who have attested to this, and I can attest to this too. A lot of the times, this healing takes place in our time of prayer. And it takes place sometimes we're consciously aware of it, but other times it's we're not consciously aware of it. It's an unconscious kind of a thing. God just goes in there and he just does his deal, and he just releases a certain aspect of resistance that's been involved in this wound, or he releases a certain aspect of the wound that's kept us captive. And we'll notice that there's a greater facility for virtue. And that's a sure sign that God is healing us. So your time of prayer, I cannot stress enough, and I cannot underscore enough, how important a daily time of prayer is for your spiritual life, your union with God, and also for the restoration of those aspects of your being that need to be restored. You know, I want to tell you something here. You know, if we do not think that we have areas that need healing within ourselves, why, we are seriously mistaken. We will never advance in the spiritual life unless we admit our weakness. All you have to do is to look at the sins that you most routinely commit. And that gives you some insight into the fact that there's something there that needs to be healed, needs to be reconciled. And that's what healing is. It's reconciliation with the Lord. Something there. So, for example, you can look at a tendency to tell little white lies. And of course, we all know there's no such thing as a little white lie. A lie is a lie is a lie. Some of the lies are, you know, carry with them a greater weight because of the nature of the lie. Some of the lie, like, for example, if we lie, we perjure ourselves in a court of law. I'll just use that as an example. If we commit a sin against another and we lie about it, we say we didn't do it when we were guilty of it, that's a big lie. But those little lies that we tell, oh, well, I just said that to make that person feel good. No, we don't do that. No. We want to be authentic and true, and we want to be charitable at the same time. But striving to be charitable never excuses lying. The ends does not justify the means. So when you find yourself, you know, lying, and it's a big wallop of a lie, or it's what we would put into the category of a little white lie, we need to ask ourselves a question, especially when we are routinely confessing that sin. Why do I do that? Why do I do that? Is my self-image so low that I feel I have to make myself feel better? Do I want to look good in the eyes of others, and so I lie about my achievements or my accomplishments, about my family? Do I feel as though I don't measure up at all, and so therefore, you know, I've got to pull somebody else down, and so I tell lies about other people? You know, that's a big sin. That's calumny. It's a very big sin. So, you know, when we allow ourselves to go to that level of self-introspection, self-examination, and we uncover the reason, well, we oftentimes find that that reason is rooted in a wound of the heart. So let's just take the example of you lie because you want people to think that you're really better than you consider yourself to be. You lie about your accomplishments. Well, once we uncover that, and we know that we do that for that reason, then we have to ask ourselves another question. When did I first begin to do this? And once we begin to trace it back, oftentimes we can find that this is really the result of the response of others towards us at some point in time. Perhaps our parents never thought that we measured up. Perhaps we were always told that we couldn't do anything right. Perhaps we were not the smartest kid in the classroom. Perhaps we were embarrassed by our grades and teacher made fun of us. No matter the situation, typically, when there is a lying about accomplishments, it's because we have a wound of the heart that's led us to believe that we are not good enough. Once we get to that point, this is where real healing takes place. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can call us. Excuse me. You can also leave a message for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. So we have Thomas on YouTube. He's asking, Johnette, how do I get past church hurt? I spent 3 years in seminary and gave my all to the Lord, to my studies, to my brothers in the seminary. Then seemingly, rather suddenly, my formator said I would not be returning the following year. I was shocked and also hurt that communication was not better and that I didn't hear from my so-called seminary brothers for a year. I'm not spiraling anymore, but I still hurt. Do church wounds ever heal? Thomas, this indeed is a very, very deep wound of the heart. There's no question about it. To be rejected is one of those three big wounds that I mentioned that to some extent everybody suffers from. Betrayal, abandonment, rejection. All of us have been rejected. But some rejections hurt more deeply than others. Being not chosen to be, you know, captain of the football team is a sad moment in life. But it's not quite the same as being tossed out of an area of study and a vocational experience that you felt that the Lord was calling you to. You asked the question at the very end here, do church wounds ever heal? Well, we know that our Lord wants to bring healing to church wounds. We know that he wants to bring healing to every wound. We know that we're not going to enter into eternal glory with any wound in the heart. So the healing is going to happen. It's going to happen on this side of the veil, or it's going to happen on the other side of the veil in purgatory. But the wounds are going to get healed. Now, the beautiful thing is that God wants to heal us in the here and now. And he provides for us the means for that healing. I am so sorry. Obviously, I have a cold, and I apologize. But he wants that healing to begin now. We've talked about the two main ways, reconciliation and our personal prayer time. And I'm hoping that you do pray every day. Of course, obviously, reception of the Blessed Sacrament. And may I say adoration? I'm going to add that adoration in there. Very important. Sitting before the Lord, exposing that wound to the Lord, talking it out with him. Remember that Jesus, in his beautiful apparition to St. Faustina, tells her that he wants to hear everything about us. He doesn't want for us to hide anything from him. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's no way we can hide anything from the Lord. He knows you're struggling. But you see, when we open ourselves up to the Lord and we talk with him about these things in a very conversational way, especially sitting before him in the Blessed Sacrament, then we are being vulnerable and we are being humble. And that brings me to a beautiful verse in sacred scripture that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And it says there, all of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces are being transformed from glory to glory into his very image by the Lord who is the Spirit. Let me proclaim that again. All of us. That means there's no exception. Every single person who pours out his heart or her heart to the Lord, especially before the Blessed Sacrament, are receiving graces from God that are healing graces. Note, all of us gazing on the Lord's glory, I'm emphasizing sitting before the Blessed Sacrament, emphasizing the efficacy of sitting before the Blessed Sacrament. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory. How is it that we, in time, gaze on the glory of the Lord? We gaze on the glory of the Lord in his Eucharistic presence. You know, when we go to Mass, the priest says, "Behold the Lamb of God," right? And he holds the newly consecrated host up before us. We should be gazing at that host. It's not a sign of disrespect. Priest in persona Christi says, "Behold, behold." We look, acknowledging the reality that this is no longer bread, but this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We continue that experience through adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And there is always efficacy there. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces. And this is the part that talks about the vulnerability. Holding nothing back. Humbling ourselves before him. Allowing him to see the good, the bad, and the ugly in us. Opening up that heart. Acknowledging the fact that he is God. And all things are possible in him, and all things are possible through him, even healing from such a deep hurt. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces are being transformed. Notice that word. Are being transformed. We're becoming new creations. We're being renewed. We're being revitalized. We're being restored. And you know, when the Lord restores and renews, he doesn't put us back together again like we were. No, the Lord restores and renews greater than we were before. Greater than we were before. Isn't that a beautiful reality? This God of ours cannot be outdone in generosity. And so in that vulnerability, we not only are giving him permission to enter into that wound, but we are also giving that wound to him, knowing that he can do it. He can do all things. He can bring it to healing. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces are being transformed from glory to glory into his very image by the Lord who is the Spirit. What does that mean? What does that mean? From glory to glory into his very image by the Lord who is the Spirit. It means that as we're healed, the God life has more access to us. We grow. We grow in the God life, and the God life grows in us until we become, in certain ways, his very image in the world. And we know that that's ever so very true, isn't it? We know that it's ever so very true because we've seen that. We've seen that in our own day and time. Because we have saints that have been canonized that we've known, we've come to know them through technology. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Pope John Paul II, both now saints. But couldn't we see God radiating through them, radiating through their actions? Radiating through their words? Couldn't we see that? Well, God wants to do that in us. And you know, both of those saints went through healing. John Paul II lost his mother young in life. He actually had a psychologist that's done lots of work in that area come speak to him in the Vatican because he wanted more of the healing power of Christ in his life. And you do too. So Thomas, how do you get past church hurt? Sit before the Lord. Spend time in prayer. Use the sacrament of reconciliation. And know that Jesus loves you and will bring you and restore you to a greater place than you would have been without this wound. Well, friends, thank you. It's been great being with you today. Thank you for suffering through with my voice. I so appreciate it, and I so love you. Let's pray for each other, okay? I'll pray for you. You pray for me. Off to Florida tomorrow. Looking forward to being with all of the good people there. Until we are together again, may God bless you. Bye-bye now.